Well, good evening again, and thank you for being here tonight for our Mother's Day service. And I hope you did have a great day today. And while each and every one of us here might not all be mothers, we certainly all had a mother. And it's a joy today to celebrate that person that we call mom, the mom who birthed us, the mom who adopted us, or the mom who stepped in that place when we, if we lost a mom, or for whatever reason, our mom could not be our mom. That's the woman that we want to celebrate tonight. That's the one that we want to take some time to talk about. So first, let me say this. I want to encourage every woman here this evening. You are uniquely created by God. You are distinctly and purposefully created different from a man. Everybody say amen? Yeah, I hope so. You are the feminine expression of God on this planet. You see, in Genesis chapter 1, the triune God said, "Let us make man in our image." And so they did. They made mankind in their image. Both male and female were created in the image of God. So that in the female, we have aspects of the character of God that are not so readily seen in the male, and vice versa. Not only was the woman created different from the man, but I encourage you to look at Genesis chapter 3 and notice in verse 20 that before she even had any children, Eve was called the mother of all living. She's called the mother of all living things before she has any children. Motherhood, it seems to me, must be something more than just having a baby, although that's certainly a huge part of it. Mothering is the female characteristic of being created in the image of God. In other words, there is something intrinsic in the woman that makes her motherly before children enter the world, something that is distinct and different from fathering. You're the nurturer. You're the caregiver. You're the one that adds color to life. You're the strength. You're the defender. You are the helper. In so many ways, you are a beautiful expression in which we see God when we look at you. Nurturing and caring and nourishing and mothering was the role of woman in how God created the world to function, especially but not exclusively in relation to having children. You see, these characteristics are true before having children, and they are going to be true after our children leave the home and are on their own. Throughout the Bible, God has chosen to reveal himself primarily in masculine terms. And this is something not something to take lightly or to dismiss. God is indeed our heavenly Father. But God has also chosen to reveal himself in more feminine or motherly terms. Scripture shows us many ways that God is likened to a mother. God is described as a woman in labor in Isaiah. God is described as having given birth to his people in Deuteronomy. He is compared to a nursing mother and to a comforting mother in Isaiah. God is described as a mother bear whose cubs have been taken away in Hosea, and as a mother hen gathering her brood under her wings in Matthew and Luke. In fact, Jesus himself likened God to a woman scouring through and cleaning her home, looking for a lost coin. You see, God, wanting to display himself to the universe, created mankind, male and female, in his image. And so while we both, that is male and female, while we both represent and reflect the image of God, it is not hard for us to see that we were undeniably created to be distinct and different. Why? For the purpose of presenting a full image of God to the world. And the story of redemption throughout the scriptures is full of stories of women. Women who took down and who raised up kings, who preserved the people of God, and who opened the way for exodus and conquest, and even for redemption. Along the way, many of these stories are stories of women who worked for and who wept for and who waited for children. They are stories of how they suffered over their children. And we remember the stories such as Eve and Sarah and Rebecca and Hannah and Bathsheba and Ruth and Jochebed. We remember individuals like Mary and Elizabeth and Eunice and Lois. All of these individuals testify to the diversity of paths that a woman may be called to in this thing called motherhood. Their paths were often filled with all kinds of pains and struggles and suffering and even sin as they desperately tried as woman and as mother to wait on God and to trust Him no matter what. And so, yes, we celebrate women and mothers today. Why? Because of God in you and because of what God is communicating about Himself through you, in your gentleness, in your compassion, in your sensitivity, in your nurture, in your care, in your femininity. It is well and good that today is a day that is marked off to say thank you to all those mothers that are out there, maybe the stay-at-home moms, or maybe the also working outside the home moms, or the single moms, or the struggling moms, or the victorious moms, all who give so much of themselves to their families, fulfilling the sacrifice of Christ in the most humble and the most incredible ways. You, I would suggest, are amazing. And to you, we all say thank you. We could not be who we are without your love and sacrifice. But secondly, let me say this. In all honesty and in full transparency, I need to let you know that I am not a female. I am a male. I have never given birth to a child. And while I do not speak, therefore, from personal experience of being a woman, other than being married to a fantastic and a loving wife and mother to our kids, other than, you see, being in relationship with my own mother and with my mothers-in-law, and in being in relationship with friends and other mothers, and in fact, having listened to hundreds and hundreds of mothers and fathers over the years, I know something. I know that being a woman and a mother is not an easy thing to do. It is complex and it is complicated. And many, many struggle to find their way in this thing called mothering. And so tonight, I do not want to pretend that your path through motherhood was or is easy or painless. Or simple. I do not want to pretend that everyone here this evening has had great experiences with their own mothers, or that there are not regrets and hurts from being a mother yourself. You see, life is more complicated than that. The world is more broken than that, and we all, and the church, needs to be more honest than that. What I do want to say is this. That the God of the universe is a good God, and that He is love, and He is mercy, He is redemption, and grace, and power, and wisdom, and forgiveness, and compassion. That no matter your experiences, no matter your choices, no matter your shortcomings, or your regrets, or your failures, or even your victories, God loves you. And we thank God for you. We value you. And God values you. You are of the highest value. You are an expression of God's glory. But let me encourage you, don't be confused by this. It's not because of your mothering that you are valued, but rather because you are valued that you mother. Your value is not found in what you do or even in what you don't do as a mother, but in who you are and whose you are. And who you are, that is your essence of yourself, your personal identity is found in your relationship with God Himself. It is found in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Your identity is not that primarily of a mother, but as a child of God. Your identity is found in the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ and in union with Him. It's not even really about who you are, but about who Jesus is and about what He has done for you. It's not about what you do, but about what God does in you and through you. If you have your Bibles tonight, and I hope that you do, would you turn with me to Romans chapter 8? Romans chapter 8. Great chapter in all of the Scripture, and I just want to let you know, by the way, we're going to be studying Romans chapter 8 in the fall. We're going to spend 8 weeks on Romans chapter 8 in a great series here starting, I think, right after Labor Day. And so I just want to encourage you, don't miss the time this fall as we look at Romans chapter 8. What a great chapter. But I just want to read three verses, one at the very beginning and two at the very end. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says this: "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." And then we read in verses 38 and 39 at the very end of the chapter: "For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, no powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Mothers, let me suggest this evening that if you are in Christ Jesus, you ought to have no fear of condemnation on you. You stand in righteousness and are loved by God as His daughter because of Christ's work on your behalf on the cross. Nothing, not anything in your mothering, not anything in the mothering that your mother did, not anything in your relationship with your own mother, not anything in your relationship with your own children, nothing. Nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. I love the way one author put it, and I'm just going to read what he wrote. He said, Mothers, even though you may feel you are not condemned by your messy house. Even though you may feel you are not condemned by your personal sins. You are not condemned by the difficulty of caring for your special needs child, a difficulty which wounds very deeply. You are not condemned by the knowledge of how easy it is for you to love one child over another. You are not condemned by your miscarriages. You are not condemned, even though you feel it, when you read over and over about others' perfect parenting moments on Facebook. You are not condemned by your inability to cook. You are not condemned because your kids are, quote, not normal. You are not condemned because you are divorced and doing it alone. You are not condemned by your body, which may not be what it once was. You are not condemned by your repeated mistakes and failures as a mother. You are not condemned by your rebellious and your prodigal children. You are not condemned by the frustration of having to scrape mac and cheese off the kitchen floor again. You are not condemned by all the fears and tears which flirt with insanity and take you right to the very precipice of despair itself. You are not condemned by not being able to throw the birthday party of the year for your kids. You are not condemned by your need for a vacation away from the kids. You are not condemned because you cannot take your kids on truly, really exciting vacations themselves. You are not condemned for not living up to the standards of your mother or your mother-in-law. You are not condemned by the stares of those who have no kids when yours erupt into volcanic screams in the midst of public places. Mothers, even though you may feel condemned, If you are in Christ, you are not condemned. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. This is the reality. This is the truth. Mothers, and seriously, all of us, we are not condemned because if we are in Christ, your identity as a sinner before a holy God is replaced with the righteousness of Christ Himself alone, His righteousness. Let me encourage you, mothers, to go forward in that freedom and enjoy your mothering and to mother us. Enjoy the unending love and affection and acceptance of being a daughter perfectly loved with an unwavering love that flows from your Father in heaven. And be the mother that God has called you to be. And let me say to the rest of us, do nothing to diminish this reality. Do nothing as a pastor, as a husband, as a son, as a daughter, as a mother, as a father, as a mother-in-law, as a father-in-law, even as a friend or as an acquaintance or just an advice giver, do nothing to diminish this reality in the life of your mother or your wife or your daughter or your granddaughter or your sister or your mother-in-law. Do nothing to diminish the reality that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Rather, let me encourage us to do that which is encourages and enhances this reality by honoring and by blessing your mother and the mothers around you. Take your Bibles now, and if you would turn to the very last chapter of Luke, chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, we're going to look at the last three verses briefly. Luke chapter 24, verses 50 to 53. You can read along as I read. Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them, and he was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. At the end of Jesus' earthly life, after the resurrection, he has come, he has lived, he was crucified, he died, he was buried, he rose again from the dead, he showed himself to his disciples and to many, many others. After that, he led his disciples out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them, it says. And then he departed from them, and he was carried up to heaven. Now, we don't know what he said. We don't know what the words were that were said. But Jesus' last earthly gesture was of a blessing with his words that leads the disciples to God, that fills them with joy and causes them to return blessings to God himself in worship. Let me suggest that to live like Christ is to offer that kind of a blessing on another. To live and to offer that kind of a blessing, not cursings on others. It is so easy for us to curse someone and to be negative about them rather than to be positive or to say a positive word about them. It is so much easier for us to critique one another than it is to praise and to celebrate one another's personhood, let alone their achievements. See, the problem is we can see the speck in our neighbor's eye and yet neglect the log that is in our own. We all know that our words have a potential to do good or to do harm. The Bible describes the potential impact of our words in verses like these, right out of Proverbs. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Or Proverbs 16:24. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. Did you get that? Pleasant words are health, even to our physical bodies. Or like Proverbs 12, verse 25, anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. A good word builds him back up. See, a spoken blessing does good to those who hear it. It means to speak well of someone, to thank them, or to invoke a benediction upon them. When you bless others, you direct God to them, and you direct them to God. You intercede for them. At times, you even stand in the gap for them as you go to the throne of grace. You see, a blessing seeks to acknowledge the complexities and the realities of this life. It doesn't shy away from it, doesn't ignore them, doesn't act as if they're not there. It wants to acknowledge that life is hard and life is difficult, and there are struggles and there are complexities to the reality of life. And a blessing seeks also to point us back to the one, though, who holds all things together. A blessing seeks to point us to the one who can comfort us, to the one who loves us, to the one who forgives us, to the one who offers to us his grace and his mercy. That is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So I would like to offer this evening a blessing for mothers on Mother's Day. Now, adapted from an article that I read, I offer this blessing to all of you mothers today. May this blessing direct you to God. May it fill you with joy and cause you to return blessing to God and then even to others. To mothers, both biological and adopted, connected by blood and by experience, torn apart by circumstance and sometimes by choice. To those who have given life both in birth and in formation, to those who have lost life before birth and before old age, to those who have done what only mothers can do, to those who have the perfect mother, and to those who live with regrets, to those who are close to their children, and to those who feel like they are a million miles away, may God bless you on this day, Mother's Day. To those women who have given birth to a child this year, we celebrate with you the gift that God has given. To those who feel the pain of children long desired but never received, we grieve with you the too often secret pain that you have borne. To those who have experienced miscarriage or failed adoptions or who have kids who have run away, we mourn your loss and we ask your forgiveness when we have been silent or even worse, when we have been indifferent. To those who have longed for children but for whatever reason have been unable to have them, we love you and we are sorry for the times that we have failed to be sensitive in both our actions and even our words. May God bless you on this day, Mother's Day. To those who have been mothers, to others who are not their own children, we thank you. We need more people like you, both in the church and in the broken world in which we live. To those who have close and meaningful relationships with their children, we celebrate this day with you and we thank God for his grace. To those who have complicated, painful, or even non-existent relationships with their children, we sorrow with you. And we thank God for his grace, while we are praying for redemption and for reconciliation. To those who have close relationships with their own mother, we thank God for that intimacy. To those who have suffered at the hands of their mother, we acknowledge you and we love you as our own. To those who lost their mothers, whether recently or even so many years ago, we mourn with you today. May God bless you this day, Mother's Day. To those who have gone through school test and medical test and emotional test and test of patience with your children, we are encouraged by your patience and your faith, and we stand with you as these tests will continue to come. To those who will have an emptier nest this year, we both celebrate and cry with you. To those of you who long to be better mothers, God's grace will provide, and we will commit to coming alongside you as well. To those who long to make things right with their children, remember that God's redemptive power can cross any boundary, any brokenness, any pain. It is never too late. To those who struggle with their children today, remember that even the young Jesus almost gave his mother a heart attack on more than one occasion. To those who feel like all they do is struggle and experience stress and frustration, remember, your investment is never in vain, and that God uses your faithfulness to change the world. To those who are bursting with pride today, both with their mothers and with their children, we celebrate with you today. And yet for those of you who struggle to get out of bed this morning, who would rather be at home because of the pain, we love you and are encouraged by your faithfulness. We pray that we may be more sensitive and more proactive in being a blessing to you and to yours. May God bless you on this day, Mother's Day. To the men here tonight, love your mothers. Love your wife as Christ has loved the church. Give yourself not as the husband or as the son, but more deeply than that, as a servant of Christ. Recognize that your wife, your mother, your grandmother, your sister, your daughter, your granddaughter, that all of them are created in the image of God, and honor them as such. Do nothing to diminish that in their life. To all the women and mothers here tonight, we thank you for who you are and what you mean to us as individuals and even to this church. We would not be who we are and where we are if it were not for you. We haven't always done a good job of honoring you and thanking you and appreciating you. We haven't always loved you even as you have loved us. And for that, we ask your forgiveness and for grace. And may God bless you on this day, Mother's Day. May we be people who honor you and bless you from this day forward for who God has made you to be, his precious child. Hebrews 13, 20 and 21, the author of Hebrews gives a blessing. And he says this, "Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. Now may the God of peace equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus, to whom be glory forever and ever," he says. That's my prayer for us. And so as we close tonight, would you join me in a word of prayer? Father God, we do come before you and we thank you. And we praise you for our mothers and the mothers that are in our lives. We thank you for how you have made them to reflect you and to help us to know more about you. That is, about your character and about your compassion, about your nurturing, about your love. Father, we thank you for their sacrifice, their giving of themselves to invest in our lives, and we pray that you would help us to honor them and to bless them, not only today, but every day. And so, Father, as we come before you now, we thank you that there is an unending flow of your mercy and your grace and your forgiveness and your love that we don't deserve, but that we so desperately need. And Father, I don't know all the struggles and the pains and all the complexities that are happening in the lives of those who are here this evening. But I do know this. Father, I know that your steadfast love never ceases. Your mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And Father, for that we thank you. I know that you know what is going on in each and every family represented here today. And so, Father, would you send honor and blessing into their lives? Would you, Father, give rest to the weary? Would you give relief to the hurting and hope to the hopeless? Father, if there are any here this evening who do not know you, for if there are those here who are not in Christ, Father, would you open their hearts to hear from you? And as you call them, would they come to Jesus and find true life, the abundant life, where there is no condemnation because of what you have already done? So, Father, we thank you for Jesus, and in his name we pray. Amen. Hey, thanks for being here tonight. You are dismissed. Hope you had a great day. Hope you have a continue the rest of this Mother's Day evening. If you're visiting or new with us, come join us right here in the back corner. We'd love to get to know you. And you are dismissed. Have a great week, and we'll see you again very, very soon. Thanks for...